Et minuttil så da begynner vi, for jeg måtte omprogrammere det for å være sikker på at jeg hadde nok tid med å fikse problemet. Tretti sekunder. Femten, fjorten, tretten. Okay, welcome to this course, which is a continuation of the course that you had in the first part of this term about security management dynamics. This course has the title Security as Continuous Improvement and the direction to continuous improvement was already there in the foundations of the first course. First of all, I would like to thank you for your interest and your very good performance. All the students that delivered all the projects and participated in the multiple choice exams passed the course, and the average grade is quite high, and even the lowest grade is a good grade, so I am very happy with that. One of the students unfortunately had to quit because of her new job situation, but she said that she would be interested in continuing next year. As to next year, there is a reform going on here, so there will be new courses. These courses that I'm teaching now, I've been taught for the last time. There will be still security management and other things, but everything is being reorganized. So in case some of you, by some reason, needs to take the courses later, then we will need some special solutions to finish this year. So as to this course, you have the frontal room, which you know very well by now. Let me say a little bit about the modeling the system dynamics. The foundations from that we have established in the first course. And now I will not, apart from some small tricks and so on, a few tricks and so on, the focus will no longer be on teaching you to model, even if you will have some exercises where we use models and so on. But the second course is different. Then I assume that you are knowledgeable about the basics of building models. And then we will see how these models can help us to understand some very important issues in security, especially those related to how to continuously improve. The idea with modeling is not so much, or it's not really making you experts in modeling. For this, the course is too short, and also we are riding two horses, teaching you the principles of modeling and teaching you security management. So the idea is rather to making you conversant with the potential of models, how they can be used to understand issues that otherwise are difficult to understand and to communicate them. And some of you occasionally decide, okay, I like that very much, I will like to become an expert modeler. This has happened a couple of times, and they are doing very well in professional life. But for most of the others, the key would be that you have got that much understanding, that you know there is a tool, there is a method that you can request when needed. So for instance, some years ago, we were approached by mnemonics, by one of my former students, and said, we have a problem. We need your help in solving that. And that occurred because the student knew their potential of modeling. So that established also links between companies and us for projects and so on. So maybe someday in the future, some of you, Tonya, Henrik, or Terje, or Jens Christian, whoever is following here, says, "Hey, Jose, we have a problem and we learn about modeling. Could we meet to see if we can find a way of solving that?" And I will be glad to hear from you. As to the literature, the same. You come very long with the slides that you get from me, but I will give you support and information about supplementary materials. As to the exams, you see that here in the course evaluation, we will have a project from 2nd of May to 6th of May. And we will have another project from the 13th of May until the 3rd of June. There will be, again, multiple choice exams. However, for the first time, because one of the participants is traveling abroad to Thailand, he couldn't take the multiple choice exam Friday the 6th, when the first project finished. So he asked me to put it 1 week later, which I put here, and I hope that's okay for you. So that will be Friday the 13th. I hope you are not superstitious. Friday the 13th of May, from 20 to 20 hours, 1 hour. Whereas the second multiple choice exam will follow right after finishing the second project. Okay. So, any questions, Mark, Tonya, yes? Okay, so, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the question that I got from the audience is, if in the first project there will be one final delivery or one intermediate delivery. And what I heard is it will cause problems with an intermediate delivery because there will be classes going on Monday and Tuesday and so on. So I'll try to do that without intermediate delivery. The reason why I am normally for complicated projects like an intermediate delivery is for helping you. So that because a project you are working 5 days, and if you take the wrong direction in the beginning and don't get feedback, then the risk is higher. But on the other hand, if there are strong reasons not to have an intermediate delivery, then we have to do that. So I take the note and we will make the first project without an intermediate delivery. But perhaps we can target at the final project, when hopefully there will be no collisions, that we could do that with an intermediate delivery. New question? Okay. So what I hear now is that from the audience that is participating physically here, they would like an intermediate delivery also for the first project, but it should be not required so much effort, so to speak, because of the collision with the teaching. So we'll see. Perhaps we can arrange with a soft start that doesn't require so many hours of work, and then so. But I will put this in a conversation in the frontal room, so that I can hear also from students who are participating outside. And by the way, I start Skype, because some students are connected by Skype, or can connect by Skype, and they may come in with questions in between. Okay, so everything is slow. Skype is starting, and I think it's going to tell me that I should upgrade. So let's wait until it's up in the air. Okay, Skype Home unavailable. Upgrade, not now. Okay. Any thoughts on May 5th being a holiday? Okay. Not yet. Not yet. Yes, that's of course another complication. Some people like that there is a holiday in between because then they can work more and so on. I guess what I can do is to put a conversation in the forum and then we can maybe adjust the dates and so on. Okay, I hear you. You do not need to answer by this. Okay, good. good. Okay, so now as to today. Today you will see this marvelous model here, and I hope you will love it afterwards, because it is a very, very, very interesting model, and it has to do a lot with continuous improvement. But as to the content, we will start with the debriefing of the second examination project before we take on to new things. And the debriefing is there, so you can upload it. And let's start with that. I like this opportunity to debrief things because, again, I think you learn a lot from projects. That's when you are really geared, motivated, interested, and see the use of the things that you have learned. So let's don't miss this opportunity. That's why I gave you feedback, why you got explanations from me. And in addition to the text that you got from me, some of you even had an exchange of emails and so on. So I love that, and I think that's very good. And that's why you have really a very high average in this course. And that's my experience in previous courses. And this has been controlled when we have external examiners, like last year. It's not me that is a kind person and are giving you good grades or informal classes. There is a really very much learning by this process, and that's why we have an average, a very good performance. So now we have an opportunity to learn more. So let's look at the solution to the second deliverable first and review the student performance, because by hearing what some students did and did not, then you get a little bit more views of possibilities than just by reflecting what you personally did. And then I will explain. And then I will start, we'll continue reviewing the first deliverable. So I start with the second and then with the first. Okay. So you all remember the second deliverable was an extension of the solution for task four. And that meant that we would add another critical infrastructure to the former ones and link them so that we had cascading effects according to the description of the case. Mm. So it was actually quite a straightforward extension, and basically all the students managed to do that quite well. And the nice thing about this model is that even if it's still simplified, in real life, modeling critical infrastructure will require more details and so on. Still, you get the ideas. That's basically how you do that. You see that you have structures of flows and stocks. You have three of them. Technically, they are called co-flows. They go kind of in parallel, but they are connected to each other through links like this and this and this. And such co-flows are very, very important in practice and critical infrastructure, security of critical infrastructure, all kind of security processes and so on. You have typically a number of processes going on in parallel, and they are connected. So in information security, you could have questions of controls, access controls, physical control, all kind of things. In all these processes, they go kind of in parallel, and they are connected. So what you learn here is, in principle, a structure that you will find very often in life. The other nice thing about such a model is that, and that's the point of having models, is you want to use the models to look at different possibilities so as to learn from what happened. The model shouldn't be a crystal ball. So it will be very wrong to deliver a model and every time you have a question, just simulate it and take the simulated answer as the solution for everything. Rather, what the model does is first in building the model, you are forced to understand the real problem much better. To create a model, you have to understand your problem. And every time you try to create a model, you discover you need to understand some things better. So it is a learning process. And the experience that we have also when we work with clients to deliver models, they say the very process of building a model is about half the value of doing it. The other half comes from using the model. There are even cases when the people say, after building the model, I don't need now the model anymore. I have learned everything that I needed. I have new insights. I understand the problem now much better and so on. But even when you simulate, the simulation is just for allowing your brain to realize the consequences of the assumptions that you have. Your brain is not able to look at this model and say what is going to happen is this and this and this. For that, we need a simulation. Okay. So then there was the Bayes simulation. The Bayes simulation is the simulation that you get by just using the given parameters. And you use the Bayes simulation later to compare with alternatives. You need such Bayes, so in order to understand differences. Everything that is different when you simulate making new assumptions, you understand by comparing the two simulations. So that's why a Bayes simulation is needed. And what we saw here was the disruption. Whoops, what happened? Was it me? That was a terrible noise. Okay, what you see is still here. You hear my speaker? Okay. Maybe about connection, yes. The assumption in the model is that the disruption hits the ICT, critical infrastructure. So it is some security, some hacker attack or whatever, and it leads to decreasing the capacity of the critical infrastructure to half. And then we assume that there are process of recovery, which means, of course, that you have procedures for that, and so on, and people are doing their best and so on. And we describe the recovery from critical infrastructure. What happened again? Oops. Something is very wrong here. I hope the people following with the lecture don't fall off the chair. Oops. It is obviously some bad contact here. I will try to have it there so that I don't move it. And rather use the mouse for pointing. So here is the disruption, and then it recovers over some time. We describe this process very simply by assuming some average recovery time, which describes a lot of processes going on. Then, as a consequence of cascading effects, the other two critical infrastructures are impacted. The deepest impact is the transport infrastructure. And that's because the ICT impacts the energy infrastructure that starts slowly recovering, and both the ICT impact and the energy impact affect the transport, which is the slowest to recover. On the other hand, in the end, it recovers in the last bit faster than the others, so it is up to full function a bit faster in the very end, but it's all a question of small percentages. As to the energy critical infrastructure, you can see how it would start to recover here, but because of the repercussion, the cascading effect from transport back to energy, this recovery is delayed. So instead of going kind of so, it goes lower and flatter before it goes up. So that's the Bayes simulation. Then the model next to this set of slides. I think I forgot. I have to do that in a break to put a model, my model. Of course, you have your model. So I will put in there. But then this observation, even if you have a model that reproduces a given behavior over time, in this case, the behavior was already indicated in the project. I said here is what you can expect in simulation. Even if you got a model that does the same simulation, that's only part of what you need to do to validate the model. Validating the model is a process to create confidence on the model. Yes, I trust what the model is doing. And for that, you should also do a number of tests, like, for instance, assume there is no impact. Then you shouldn't see a disaster. Assume the disaster, that the cascading effect is very, very low, a low number. Then you should little disruption in the others. So you can make a number of reasonable assumptions, or a very huge disaster should lead to a huge impact. Very strong cascading effects. You should see a lot of disturbances. So you should test the model with a number of other common sense assumptions, including extreme conditions, so that you have the feeling, yes, the model is all the time giving an answer that I can trust. And after doing that, then you say, yes, now I trust the model. Now I can use that to ask questions. And that was then the next process. And I gave you two alternatives. I say, assume that there are two possibilities that will cost the same to reduce cascading effects from ICT, critical infrastructure, to energy and transport. And one will be to act directly on the cascading impacts from ICT to energy and cascading impact of ICT to transport. The other will be to do a major, much bigger reduction of impact of energy and transport. And then you should compare that. Okay? So the challenges was to visualize the answers in a way that was easy to draw conclusions. And for that, some of the students did it very clearly. Some others were a bit messy because there are so many curves all upon a pile. It was difficult to see very clearly the conclusion. So here is one of the ways how you could do that to put it very clearly. So you just select one particular critical infrastructure, in this case, ICT critical infrastructure. And then you simulate there the base. The base is here, this one, the curve that here is labeled with number 3. And option 1 is the one labeled with 1, the blue one. And option 2 is labeled with number 2, and it is red. And then what you can see from this curve is that option 1 is a little bit better than option 2, and both are a bit better than just base simulation. So the effect for the ICT critical infrastructure is not so marked. So the critical infrastructure of ICT is disrupted. And then because of the cascading effects, the energy and the transport critical infrastructure are impacting back on critical infrastructure for ICT. So that's why the mitigation effects do have some impact, some benefits also back on ICT critical infrastructure. But the effects are not very big. But still, the conclusion is option 1 is better than option 2, slightly better. If you now consider, I will come back as to how you create this curve, this set of curves in a moment. Doing the same thing for energy CI, there you see very marked differences. Option 1, labeled with number 1 and in blue, is much better. It stays higher all the time and it recovers faster than option 2, which is hit very deeply and then does recover and comes here, and of course than the base, which means it's just a comparison. So here it is very clearly option 1 is much better than 2, and of course a significant improvement with respect to 3 for energy critical infrastructure. And then for transport, again you compare that and you see again option one, the blue one with number one, is the best one, but it is only a bit better than option two for transport, but still it's better. And definitely both are a significant improvement with respect to base. How do you create these curves? Okay, let's look at VanSim. Trick number one is to have selected the three simulation curves that you need for comparison. So you have to have simulated with the base with option one and two. And when you look at them, data sets, then you see them here. Base at the bottom, less energy, or actually it's up from the top. Option one, which I call less ICT impact, is at the top selected here. Less energy impact is the second, base is the third. And that's why in simulation, if you are able to put the numbers, which I don't think you can with VanSim PLE, but I can, it determines the order here. But this is a different curve, sorry. So that's why this will be the first to be shown, this the second, and this the third. Now, how do you select, how do you show the curves for just one particular one? Well, by clicking on them. You click, for instance, on energy CI, and then you go to graph, and there it is. That's the curve. And that's why option one appears first, option two afterwards, and option three here. Because I put the three simulation curves in that order in the selection. And this you can save. You see here in the curve, the save, you can save. And you can select where you want it. And actually, that's the one that I save. I call it comparing all three options, all three simulations for the energy CI, and so on. And after you have the figure, then you can insert that in your documents. So again, the trick is, do the three simulations with base, with option one, and option two. Arrange them in the control panel in this order, and this you can change anytime by clicking on something. You want the base first, you click on that. You want less ICT impact first, you click on that. If you click on energy, it becomes first, but I want ICT first. So in this way, you can reorder them as you like them. So they have to be selected as data sets, the three simulations, or whatever simulations you need. And then you just select the variable that you want to look at, click on graph, and there you get it exactly like this. And this is a very clear procedure because you are comparing only the things that you want to assess. All the other curves are not there. And it gives you a very clear picture. So that was one of the challenges and determined also whether you got a better or less better grade. If you did the simulations, the clarity in which you showed the simulations and could draw the conclusions. Any questions? Okay. So back to the slides here. So after doing that, the conclusion that I was expecting based on a good analysis was something like this. Option one, reducing the cascading impact of ICT upon the other critical infrastructures, gives the best results in all cases. And then it's a bit better than option two concerning reducing cascading impacts upon ICT-CI arising from boomerang effects. So impact on the others, impacting back. Option one is also better, much better than option two concerning reducing the cascading impacts upon energy CI. And option one is still the best one, but only a bit better than option two concerning reducing the cascading impacts upon transport CI. So option one was the best. And that's the kind of things you do with simulation models. You ask questions, you get answers, but you have to understand the answers as well. Why is it so? So it's not enough to use the simulation, here is the truth, but the model should help us to understand why it is so. then you have full advantage of the model. So reviewing the student performance in the second deliverable, all the students were able to extend the simulation model from tracks 4 to include transport CI. Some did it a bit better than others. A few students did not simulate the options to reduce cascading effects, probably because of lack of time. Most students produced graphs that compared the options, but only a few students did so in a very clear way that allowed a clear conclusion. And a couple of students also added tables. You could see the numbers reinforcing the conclusions that you saw from the graphs. So that was very nice. Okay, then as to the first delivery. In the first task, all the students created the model, but a few students did not adjust time step for visual accuracy, which shouldn't be forgotten. And the best solutions with the best graphical displays showed very clearly that all the pairs of variables that we are given yield pulses of equal area. And some students recognized that an insight, but not all, which was a pity because that had consequences for the second task. In the second task, where you were asked to have impact that was as short as possible, that is duration time step, we wanted a solution that should be independent of the time step. And that required that one made the height of the pulse higher and higher by dividing the impact by the time step. And they were typically the students who had understood that it was the area of the pulse that was the point who managed to do the second task best. In task three, most students managed to set up the model, but there were a couple of students who had some problems. And then I come back to the question of the forum. The forum is extremely valuable, not only during the project, but also during the course. If you engage in that, then you are communicating things, and just by talking about things, you must do an effort to understand what you are saying, so that helps you learn. And by hearing others' opinions, you learn too. You are resources for yourselves, so please use the forum during the course. And since you are allowed it, to use it in the exam, then please do that, because what counts is that you learn. The only thing, as I said, is that every student was manufacture every word, every symbol, every figure, everything that you put in your report must be done by you. But if you borrow inside, you get ideas from others, that's fine. That's the way we learn in life. From the very beginning that we are born, we are learning from the others. And that's very important that we don't forget that even when we grow up. But again, make it your own product. You should be proud to say, yes, I did that, I understood that, I defend every word, every symbol, every figure, everything that is there. If you do that, then your performance and your learning will become better and better and better. Okay, in the fourth task, more than half of the students managed to set up the model, but some of the students were short of time, so they did not do the fourth task. A few others, because they hadn't quality assured the previous tasks, had carried over to the fourth task as well. And some of the students who did have the model, by some reason, missed the opportunity to answer. There were questions posed, like comparing the model with cascading effects with a simulation without coupling, and so on. So why this happens, I don't know. Sometimes maybe because this was overlooked, which means make an effort to read the case very clearly, and sometimes it's simply time pressure. Okay, which means it's related to the project. So conclusions for the first deliverable, for all the deliverables, as I said before, all the students pass, apart from one student who said, unfortunately, I have a new job situation, so I have to quit, but I would like to continue next year. The performance of the class was very satisfactory, when all the people who deliver pass and the grades are good, and some of them very good, then you can be very proud. But you can still improve. Planning and self-evaluation, they are very important for a good project conduct and for learning from the project. And all of you, some of them more than others, but still all of you can improve that, especially in the self-evaluation, using it more for quality assurance and developing ways of more objectively measuring what you're doing. Then improve the way you communicate what you have found, improve your text, figures, and so on, conclusions. And as I said, quality assure, quality assure, quality assure. Okay? Questions? Good. Those of you who are not present here, if you have questions, you can deliver them by mail or Skype or whatever. Okay, we began this class a little bit later because we had originally problems in getting the projector. So I started at 3 minutes past quarter, so we have still something like 8 minutes left before we take a break, which will be a bit shorter. Instead of 15 minutes, it will be 12 minutes before we can continue with the next one. Okay, so now, as usual, you have a document in front of you that gives an overview of the course. And please look at it. You will see some figures and that you have seen before, some arguments. It tells you a bit about ISO 27 standard and so on. It tells you a bit of the history of using system dynamics and information security, but also in quality improvement and so on and so on. So also it points to you that there is a very interesting developing now. It has been recognized more and more the importance of incentives for the quality of information security. There is a new threat called the economics of information security, which is not so much about profit and so on. Here, economics is more seen in a modern sense of microeconomics, like understanding incentives, alignments, misalignments, externalities, and all kinds of things, and the impact they have. And there is a famous article, which I think I have referred before when you had the first project, that concluded that in about half of the cases, bad information security was due to bad incentives rather than to bad technology. And together with the student who took this course last year and who's now the master, we have now an article in a conference related actually to simulating the ATM case that you had in the first project of the previous course. Then as to materials and so on, there are a lot of references here, and so on and so on. So some of the references had to do with quality management and so on. And then, of course, the articles that I refer to, as well as the lectures. So please review this because it gives you a quick survey about the course. And now let's start with the new lecture. So, modeling security as continuous improvement process. And I will be able to give you the framing of this lecture, a few slides. There is a paradox related to quality improvement. And the paradox is that the majority of the programs to improve quality, which cost a lot of resources, do not deliver. But this is a paradox because when quality improvement processes are well implemented, they give a tremendous boost to to the enterprise. So why is something that is so beneficial done so poorly? Because in 90% of the cases, it doesn't work. The explanation comes using a simple system dynamic model, which is actually a high-level description of a dozen very detailed projects that analyze quality improvement processes in different sectors of the economy. So we look at this system dynamics model and look at some simulation that explain what it is. And because it was about quality improvement in general so far, then we look at the end as to its application to information security. And with that, we will spend some time this morning. And you will have some exercises. Today, most of the exercises will come at the end. And the reason is because I have to catch a bus to Gardermoen, and that goes at 4:30, which means I have to leave from here 3:45. So Konstantin Lencik will be here from 3:30, the last 15 minutes with me, and then he will guide you through the last exercises, because we have 3 hours starting 2:00 today. Okay. So the improvement paradox. The analysis of improvement, quality improvement processes, was done in the end of the 1990 decade. Since then, there have been no research results that contradict the insights at that time. And it can be summarized in the following way. If you look at the United States, but similar things apply to all their countries, there is a huge investment of resources in trying to improve quality processes, improve the quality of processes in all kinds of enterprises. So, $100 billion, that is billion in English, is milliarden in Norwegian, so that's a lot. $100 billion, and that was in 97, today is even more, were invested in US annually to improve processes in all kinds of enterprises. But it turned out that only a few of these efforts, of these quality improvement processes, did deliver significant results. In many cases, it was as if you hadn't done anything. In some other cases, it was even the opposite of what you expected. You didn't improve, you got worse processes. So, in particular, if you look at the 1,000 leading companies in the world, turned out that fewer than 10% of those, as listed in the Fortune 1000, had well-developed total quality management programs. They were doing total quality management in some way, but fewer than 10% were well-developed. Even more surprising, the majority of the senior managers have become skeptical towards quality improvement process. While they had very strong opinions and practiced doctrines that were counterproductive, they were making things worse. But there was a very careful, research published in several studies that convincingly showed companies that had a serious commitment to total quality management and succeeded in installing such a program, they were really doing much better than their competitors. So that's a big paradox. Now we take a break and continue after at 11:15.